Just a young gun with a quick fuse. I was uptight, wanna let loose. I was dreaming of bigger things and wanna leave my old life behind.
And we're joined once again on The Scoop today by Dan Slabaugh of On the Prowl, talking some interesting Wolves news that has popped up here this week. Dan, as always, happy Friday, and welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Seth. Been a little while, but good to be back. We're definitely in the doldrums of the NBA offseason, so not a whole lot to... unpack here on this day. Some little stories, but not too much has popped up over the last even month or so that is big time news. So I'm kind of just chilling in this baseball mode right now and enjoying the Major League Baseball season while I wait for the NBA to return. So that's kind of where I'm at. I'm just excited to just to get training camp underway and just to get things back and running in the NBA because, obviously at this time there's not much going on. So start to miss it a little bit.
Yeah, it's been very slow. The free agency period is done. It has been for a couple of weeks, so we don't really get much in the way of NBA news unless you are following the Carmelo saga, which that would be something that I suppose people could get excited about. But just looking at kind of what we're breaking down here today, a couple of interesting things that have happened. One of them involving Jimmy Butler, and this was just, I was surprised at how matter-of-factly this was brought about, the Timberwolves announcing that Jimmy Butler had a surgery done on his wrist, an elective procedure. So Butler decided that that it was something that he wanted to do, but apparently he had it done a little while ago, and we didn't hear anything about it, and then all of a sudden yesterday afternoon, the Timberwolves were like, oh, yeah, this happened. Is it concerning at all to you, Dan, that that even this far after the season, Butler elected to have this procedure done, albeit some of the top Timberwolves reporters here in the state of Minnesota, Darren Wolfson and also John Krasinski, said nothing to worry about, but still kind of weird that that we're at this point in the season and Jimmy Butler is still kind of dealing with some wrist issues, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little weird, but I think the fact that, I think he wanted to wait a little bit into the summer to see if it was still bothering him, and I'm sure his plan was, if it was still bothering him around late July, then, might as well get it looked at and get it fixed for training camp. So I think his plan was just to wait it out and to see if it still bothered him. If it did, then get it right. But if it wasn't bothering him, then all is fine. So I think this is just a precautionary move. I think his wrist should be fine. I didn't know what was wrong with his right hand, but yeah, I know his wrist seemed to bother him down the stretch last season, and I think it even trickled in the playoffs a little bit where his wrist was hurting a little bit. So I know Jimmy's been banged up. Jimmy was banged up for the majority of last season, and I don't think the wrist is too big of an issue or a concern. I just think that, his plan was that if at this point in the summer it's still bothering him a little bit, and he's going to get it right. And so I think that time came, and that he, that's why he didn't get his procedure. So I think his wrists, all in all, should be fine, and I think it'll be a non-story.
Yeah, we'll hope that it is just as gone as quickly as it appeared in terms of news. The other thing that we were going to talk about today, this actually led to you writing an article about it over at On the Prowl. I would encourage listeners to go check that out. just a an interesting omission in the Bill Simmons podcast from teams that look to contend in the Western Conference. So for those who maybe didn't hear, just give us the story, Dan, of what happened and why the Timberwolves were just left out in the cold when Bill Simmons was talking about who all would be contending in the West.
Yeah, well, they were dissecting the Kawhi Leonard to Toronto blockbuster, and they were, you know, kind of... Bill was encouraging Shea Serrano, well-known Spurs fan, him by, you know, telling him that there's only 30 teams in the NBA, and there's only 15 guys that make All NBA. There's 30 teams in the NBA, and the Spurs now have two of those All NBA guys. That's a big deal, and I agree with Bill. And then he proposed, or he followed to ask Kevin O'Connor what, you know, his rankings were in the West. And, you know, O'Connor chipped in a little bit. He gave his top five, and then Simmons responded and justifiably raved about how good the West is going to be and kind of named Portland and Golden State, Houston, San Antonio, and the Lakers. And Kevin O'Connor responds, and by the way, all these guys are very talented writers. Kevin O'Connor is one of my favorite NBA and national writers in the league, so nothing, I'm not trying to roast or, you know, kind of trash them on the radio right now, but I'm just saying, you know, this is what happened. I maybe, anyway, so Kevin O'Connor then chipped in after Simmons raved about the West. He said, and we can't forget New Orleans or Portland. And actually, you know, when I say that, I think in the original discussion, Simmons was raving about Utah instead of Portland, and then Connor shipped in about not forgetting about Portland and New Orleans. And so, you know, as I'm sitting there, and this might sound, you know, a little biased since I'm from the area, but, and I almost feel like they're forgetting the amount of parity involved through the third place and ninth place last year in the West. Just three games separated the third place Blazers from the ninth place Nuggets. And a team like the Timberwolves, who haven't made any splashy offseason moves, were only, you know, they finished two games behind the third place Blazers for the three seed. The Timberwolves nearly held a tiebreaker over every Western Conference team because they played extremely well versus the West last year, and especially versus their own division. So, you know, only finishing two games outside of third place with Jimmy Butler missing 17 games is, you know, it's pretty impressive, and I think it shows that. You can't really discount any team, you know, 3 through 10. You know, I think there's probably, you know, I think after San Antonio, after they added DeRozan, there's probably three locks, I would say. San Antonio, Golden State, and Houston. And I think after that, you know, I personally would hold Minnesota as a lock over, you know, Portland and New Orleans and those teams just because of what they were, just because of how good they were when Jimmy Butler was healthy last season. I think people forget how good they were when Jimmy Butler was on the court and not in street clothes on the sidelines. I believe they went 29-16 in the time that Jimmy Butler was. Or no, 39-26 in the time Jimmy Butler was healthy last season. So that's a pretty impressive record. And, you know, I just think there are three tiers, and the first tier is Golden State and Houston, and then the next tier involves teams possibly 3 through 11, and then the bottom tier is the rebuilding teams in the West. And so I legitimately think there are 11 teams that can make the playoffs this year in the West, And after the first two, I know I just said San Antonio's a lock, because I think, you know, if they made the playoffs last year without Kawhi and then they added DeRozan, who will likely, you know, will try to give him 75 plus games, I think San Antonio should be near a lock to make the playoffs. But, you know, in that range after Golden State and Houston, it's a pretty, there's a lot of parity in there. And we don't really know how that's going to shake out, because they're all, you know, they're all really good NBA basketball teams, but I don't think one necessarily has a huge leg or more talent than, you know, another. So I think if you're talking about that conversation, you can't just leave two to three teams out of there, because they're all so so close to each other, and especially it's odd because the Timberwolves team that does have two all NBA players and a pretty nice supporting cast. So, you know, it's not like the Timberwolves are lacking star power, and they have a 1-2 lethal duo, and it's Karl-Anthony Towns and Jimmy Butler. That's better than 80% of the 1-2 duos in the Western Conference. So, as we know, high-end talent often wins in the NBA, and the Wolves have a 1-2 punch better than, like I said, 80% of the Western Conference. So I think the Wolves have kind of, they're kind of getting a little bit of disrespect and kind of thrown off into the overlooked section. I think some experts and writers are kind of putting them in the fringe playoff teams rather than right there in the middle of the pack with the New Orleans and the Portlands and the Utah. And I think that's a little silly to be honest with you, just because of how good they were with Jimmy Butler. And until they give us a reason to doubt them when Jimmy Butler or one of their star players isn't on the court, then I have no reason to believe that they won't put up an impressive record and be a good basketball team when fully healthy. So it's going to be a really interesting next season. I'm not trying to say they don't have their deficiencies. Their bench leaves, there's a lot of question marks surrounding the second unit. Tom Thibodeau has not been able to get the defense to perform the way he wants to, and I'm very skeptical that his defense can take the next step because of his outdated defensive strategies. And of course, Jimmy Butler is entering a contract year, and we don't really know what the future holds there. So there's definitely some areas of concern and some reasons to doubt. Some reasons of doubt in this Timberwolves franchise right now. But as far as the 2018-19 Minnesota Timberwolves team goes, I think they're faring pretty well in the basketball court. You know, I don't think their ceiling is a championship, of course, but they definitely belong in the same conversation as the other playoff hopefuls in the Western Conference, that's for sure.
I have a theory. I'm not going to fully elaborate on it, but the omission of the Wolves was it was not an accident by Bill Simmons. I don't think it was an accident at all, especially considering how much Simmons wanted the Celtics to go after Jimmy Butler. And still does. I don't think it was an accident that they just for some reason decided to leave the Timberwolves out of the West. So that's all I'm going to say about that. But I encourage again listeners to go check out Dan's article at On the Prowl, talking about kind of where things stand in the Western Conference. I think that's going to wrap it up here for today, Dan. Like you said, not a whole lot going on, but did want to give a little bit of an update on those Wolves situations. Anything else over at On the Prowl that listeners can look for here over the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, we should have an article coming out in the next few weeks on where the Wolves rank among Western Conference among the Western Conference standings. And that's kind of where we're at right now. And on the prowl, I don't think we have anything more planned over there. And so we're kind of just riding the waves of the offseason. And if something major happens with the team, then of course we'll be right on it. But as of now, we're kind of just enjoying the rest of our summers and waiting for the offseason to kind of wind down, as that's what we're doing right now. So just enjoying the summer, and if anything new big comes up, then we'll be right on it.
Very good, Dan. Thanks for joining the show here today to give us a little bit of a Wolves update, and we'll see how things go here over the next couple of weeks. We'll catch up with you again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Seth.